It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. By Defense Department estimates, about 12,000 Afghan refugees came to Fort McCoy 2 years ago after the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan and the withdrawal of U.S. troops. And since then, some refugees have made a life here. We check in on the community efforts to support resettlement, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlov is Executive Director of Jewish Social Services of Madison. Kai, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So what are typical challenges of Afghan refugees resettling or settling in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I can especially speak to Dane County. Basically, first of all, let me tell you that all refugees, including the Afghan community, are facing trauma. They're dealing with trauma due to what they've come from, the instability, the migration, and abuse that they've suffered. And so as they're settling into their new homes, we are tasked with helping them, you know, mitigate that and helping them make a new home in a way in such that they feel welcome, and also in a way that we are able to provide services to them so that they can, you know, adequately settle into their new homes. So, you know, some of the challenges that we're facing in Dane County specifically are related to housing and transportation. Many of the families, you know, that we resettle, for example, we've resettled over about 165 refugees for this fiscal year, which started in October and will end in October. So of those families that we've resettled, we've had many challenges due to Dane County really facing a 14% increase in rental costs. So this trip down to our Afghan families who are typically coming with larger families. So we have a scarcity of available and affordable housing. That's number one on our list. And then if you're looking at the cultural needs of folks who are resettling in Wisconsin, I mean, the Afghan community has come from extreme trauma and also cultural differences. So we are tasked with making sure that we're able to assist them with this new culture in Wisconsin, whether it be the cold environment or how to navigate a new healthcare system, a new social service system, something that they may not be, familiar with, and also language barriers. We have families who are coming in where they do not speak English or very minimal English. So we're, you know, we're also tasked with making sure we connect them to literacy providers so that they can receive ESL services.
I want to pick up on something you said there about finding that sense of community. And a year ago, Spectrum News One spoke with a former Afghan police commander who had resettled in the Green Bay area. Here is Shah Mohammed Mohammadi.
When I came here, I don't know about the American people culture. I didn't know about everything. That was hard for me.
So much to take in and to learn in the new culture of what was around him. What resettlement support is there for trying to find new community?
Oh, definitely. Well, first of all, the way at JSS we handle refugee resettlement from a point of resilience. Remember that the refugees that we're seeing are about 1% of those who were able to make it out. So these are folks who are coming with a lot of resilience, a lot of strength. However, they may not know the current culture. So at JSS, it's important for us to connect new coming refugees with communities that are similar or a part of their own culture. For example, if someone is Muslim coming in, we try to make sure that we connect them to the local masjid, to the Muslim community. If someone is Syrian, we're trying to connect them to the existing Syrian community here also, so that they find a sense of something that's familiar. But at the same time, we promote creating new community. And by that, I mean that we set up our new incoming refugees with mentors. And mentoring is a two-way street because we feel that refugees have just as much to share with us as we do with them. So we try to put all of these support systems in place from communities of origin and also with our new American community, which may be new for them, and case management, which you know, we try to coordinate things in such a way that they're wraparound so that we can ease the transition. You know, whenever you go to a new place and you're resettling, just imagine here, don't know the language, you don't know the culture. Imagine if you were dropped on Mars, for example. You didn't know the language, you didn't know the culture, you didn't know how to mitigate or navigate those services. It's very important if you have folks around you who are familiar with that new culture and the navigation process. And it's even more of a plus if you are able to connect folks with communities similar who have gone through the same transition.
We're talking with Kyle Gardner-Mishlove about Afghan refugees resettling in Wisconsin, specifically Dane County. Kai leads Jewish Social Services of Madison. And you can join in with your perspective, your questions at 800-642-1234. Kai, we're going to hear another voice now. Najib Azad is a former spokesman for the Afghan government who resettled in Stevens Point. And a year ago, he talked with NBC 15 about feeling his family had been placed in the wrong region. Here's Najib.
The connections I still have are in other states, and we were not listened, right? And then they just decided to send you wherever wherever they want to send you. Doesn't matter if you can have opportunities there, if you can find fair jobs there.
So Najib said he felt supported by the Stevens Point community, but had better job prospects and better connections elsewhere. Are resettlement organizations able to help families move to different places?
Well, you know, the resettlement process, involves one of the 9 resettlement agencies based in D.C., and they make decisions of where to send refugees throughout the U.S. And that's usually, and those agencies are called VOLAGs. And basically that just stands for Voluntary Resettlement Agency. And what happens is, for example, we are an affiliate of HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which is the oldest refugee resettlement agency in the country, over 130-year history. So HIAS, along with the other 8 resettlement agencies in DC, will decide which city they will send a refugee. And it's based on availability. They try to send folks where there are existing communities and where there are openings. So they will make a decision, for example, we're going to send this person from Afghanistan or from Syria or from Ethiopia or from the Congo, as an example. That's not exclusive, but we will send someone, they will decide, we will send this family of 8 to Madison, Wisconsin, to JSS, because they have availability or openings for this family. So they take into account, the housing and the economic availability in that city or state. But, you know, at times it's challenging because, as you know, for example, in Madison, we have a lot of challenges related to housing. However, yes, we have a growing community. And so you kind of have to weigh the pros and the cons to see, what are the chances of success for this family? Here at JSS, we have a very dedicated staff who reach out to community members, to volunteers. We have a very robust volunteer network here, and that's a plus. And that, you know, will assist with the transition, but we're still subject to whatever the labor market is in our community. So we're doing the best that we can given that. But I do understand, you know, listening to what the gentleman was saying, you know, he may have had other connections in other states and he may have preferred to go somewhere else, but maybe there was not an opening in the state that he wanted to go to available, you know, depending on who was resettling him.
That makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. And within the first 90 days, it's very intense, just to let you know. refugee resettlement within the first 90 days. There's a rush to do everything that we can to assist folks, you know, with housing, with getting acclimated for employment, for ESL, if that's needed, and also enrollment for if they're children in the family, school enrollment, and also medical screenings and follow-up medical care. So that's a lot to deal with within the first 90 days, especially if you're not familiar with the culture or their language.
And taking such a wraparound approach to the life of this household. Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlov, Executive Director of Jewish Social Services of Madison, as we discuss efforts to help Afghan refugees build a life in Wisconsin. You can be part of the conversation at any point. Call in with a question, share your comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thousands of Afghan refugees were sent to Fort McCoy 2 years ago following the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Afghanistan and the collapse of its government to the Taliban. We check in on refugee resettlement activities and what it takes for Afghan refugees to build a new life here in Wisconsin. Call in with a question, share your experiences, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlov leads Jewish Social Services of Madison and stays with us. Kai, turning to funding, state lawmakers over the summer passed a $99 billion budget for the next 2 years. Does the state's budget provide aid to resettlement efforts?
Oh, definitely. So we are recipients of funding from the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So that's on the federal level, and it's filtered through HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, our national agency who sends funding to us, but also through the Bureau of Refugee Programming the Department of Children and Family Services. So we receive funding to provide services to refugees, and we're very grateful for that. So for example, one of the funding streams that we receive is for refugee social services and also career development. And these are very, very important programs that we're very proud of. RSS program, also known as Refugee Support Services, provides services for the entire family. So we look at that refugee from the standpoint of who is in that family and what are their needs and what can we do to meet those needs. So you may have a family of four. Let's say you have dad who has an advanced degree. So let's say you have mom who may not have any kind of degree, and I'm speaking about the Afghan community, and you may have two children, right? Maybe one has special needs. So we're gonna look at each person in that family and figure out what do we need to do as far as connecting them with employment, with education, if they need some enhancement in that area, with career development. Someone coming in may have had, experience as an architect, for example, back in their home, but they come here and they don't have the credentialing that's necessary to work in this country, you know, in that profession. So we're going to say, what does our labor market offer for them here right now? What sort of employment can we connect them with immediately so that they can provide, you know, for their family? And then how can we gradually assist them in following whatever career path they would like? So this is all funding that we're getting through RSS and RCDS, which are some of the programs that are coming through the state. In addition, there's other funding that's available for behavioral health support that's coming through our Bureau of Refugee Programming at our state. And that's very important because you have to remember that refugees are coming with trauma due to instability, migration, abuse, and maybe inadequate care that they received at home. And it's a big challenge to have to, leave your home abruptly, you know, usually under distress.
Yes.
Coming to a new place, there's new stress that you're dealing with as you're trying to acclimate, and you haven't resolved that previous stress that you, you know, that you left behind, but you're bringing it with you still. So how can we assist in making sure that we connect them to the proper care for behavioral health and also for physical health? And we try to look at things from social determinants of health. What have refugees left behind? What conditions do they find themselves in where they, when they arrive here? We want to decrease any kind of social isolation or loss of that social network that they might have had from their home country. So how can we recreate that? How can we make sure that they're accessing culturally appropriate care? And how can we help them navigate some of the systemic barriers of healthcare and social service systems in general that exist? And also, how can we assist them in attaining their dreams of what their life, where what they would like their life to become? So we do all of that through these programs and this funding that we receive. And, you know, and also interpretation, that's very important that we provide that to them immediately so that they understand, you know, the new systems that they're in, and make sure that we're providing them with ESL services and referrals. So that's some of the funding that a lot of refugee supporting agencies are receiving from the state, and it's critical.
So much coordination. Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlove talking with us about the so many different aspects of the resettlement of Afghan refugees. And Kai leads Jewish Social Services of Madison. You can join in with your question or your concern, 800-642-1234. Kai, in terms of paperwork, lawmakers reintroduced legislation in Congress over the summer aiming to establish permanent residency for Afghans who worked with Americans during the war in Afghanistan. And the legislation has bipartisan sponsors. What are the challenges in gaining permanent residency?
Oh, there are a lot of challenges. You have to remember that the Afghan community, and also there are other communities that are facing this too, such as the Ukrainian community, they're coming in as parolees, meaning that they have temporary status. So our job is to make sure that we refer folks as soon as possible for legal services so that they can, you know, they can be assisted in becoming permanent residents. And it takes quite a bit of paperwork, quite a bit of time, and quite a bit of coordination of services. And things are constantly changing regarding, you know, some of the regulations and rules. So we really, really value our immigration partners, whom we refer to, especially in Dane County, such as Silk, such as CMC, and also there's some private attorneys who are assisting as well.
Do you find that Afghan refugees need legal help to navigate the U.S. immigration system?
Absolutely. Everyone does. Immigration law is extremely technical, and it's easy to make a mistake. So this is not something that you want to navigate on your own. You really need a very experienced attorney to assist you with this.
What do people in Wisconsin often misunderstand about the experiences of Afghan refugees?
I think that, first of all, I've found that the community in Wisconsin, for the most part, is extremely supportive of refugees, but there's also always more work to do. I think that what some of the misunderstanding, if it occurs, occurs because we're looking at things through our own lens of being a Wisconsinite or being an American. And we may miss some of the nuance involved with a new culture trying to acclimate. So I think the most important thing for our community to understand is, one, that refugees are coming with resilience, but also coming with trauma. And if we are able to assist them in navigating the system, we're also able to assist others in navigating systems. You know, refugees are resettled often in communities where there may be pre-existing disparities. So they may highlight some of the disparities that we may not have been paying attention to. So it's very important that, you know, I always look at this work as it takes a village, and need to be open and understanding and do everything that we can to welcome newcomers in a way that respects their culture and in a way that recognizes the resilience that they have. We should be looking from not a deficit standpoint, but from a resilience standpoint.
Kai, I'm sorry to jump in, but thank you so much for joining us and sharing this work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I encourage all of our listeners to stay in touch with their elected officials so that we're able to continue to resettle and welcome refugees and newcomers. Thank you so much.
Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlov, Executive Director of Jewish Social Services of Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.